around the small town called Bethlehem. Beth means house in Hebrew, and Lehem is bread. House of bread. What a fitting name to the place where the bread of life will be born. Christmas has dark and ugly aspects, but there is something even darker and uglier beyond these examples that I gave you. And that lurks in the, it's hiding. It's the most abominable reality in the universe. And to appreciate the beauty of Christmas, we must understand the darkest and ugliest part or aspect of Christmas. The Apostle Paul, in the first letter of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15, says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Matthew 1:21, we read, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. In Hebrew, Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation. And he said, for he will save his people from his sins. 1 John 4:14, we have the Apostle John tells in his first epistle, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The darkest and ugliest side of Christmas is sin. And the Apostle Paul describes it in Romans 3:13 as venom from snakes and the bad smell from a grave. And what sin is what made the second person of the Trinity come down from heaven, leave his throne of glory, leave the glory that he shared with the Father from eternity past, and become like one of us, and live in this world he lived a perfect life, no sin in him, to die on a cross and shed his blood for payment for our sins, to redeem us from sin. Sin is something that invades the whole world and causes tears, pain, wars, fights, strife, discord, anxiety, fear, environmental destruction, diseases, hunger, natural disasters, and death. All those things are the direct consequence of sin. Sin upsets every human relationship between man and the creation that surrounds him, between man and God. Every broken marriage, every broken home can be attributed to sin. Finally, sin condemns the soul to eternal life and to eternal torment. Life in torment, which is a horrible place to be. But God, what beautiful, those two has to be one of the most beautiful two words, one of the most beautiful two words in the Bible. But God, sometimes we find ourselves in a corner and they say, there's no way out. But God, amid this apparent hopeless condition of humanity, sent his son to redeem us. Years ago, there was a man who was translating the Bible for a tribe in Central Africa. And he became familiar with that dialect. So he was translating the Bible, and he came to a point where he could not translate the word redeem or redemption. I said, well, I don't know. How would I translate that? But he knew a brother, a local brother in Christ, and he called him and said, I need help. How do you guys translate in this dialect redemption? To that question, the man replied, oh, easy. Really? Yeah. He took my neck out. I said, I'm sorry? Yes, he took my neck out. Let me explain. And the man proceeded saying, in the days of the slave trade, the slave traders used to come and capture people from villages and shackle them and tie them with chains one to another by the neck and make them march all the way to the coast to be put in ships and shipped to America, to the Americas. And he said, but, through the march, if someone will come and said, I know that man, I know that woman, what is his or her price? And they will give him the price. I said, I am willing to pay for him what you're going to be paid at the coast. And here's the money. And immediately they will come and they will open the shackle around his neck and will take the neck out. And that's what Christ did. That's what God did with us. We were slaves to sin. The shackle and the saints of the chains of sin was binding us. And Christ came, and by dying on the cross and paying with his blood the price for our redemption, he removed the chains of sin that had us tied down. The central message of Christmas is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ appeared to take away our sins. And that's what the angel of the Lord told Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from his sins. God wanted to restore communion with humanity. But sin cannot be ignored by the infinitely holy God. Therefore, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And that's the reason for Christmas. If sin did not exist, there would be no need for Christmas. And the beauty of Christmas is understood when we see that sin caused the Son of God to come into this world to pay for our redemption. And sin is the darkest and the ugliest side of Christmas. And we cannot celebrate Christmas without realizing that sin is the reason that the Savior came into this world. We read previously in 1 Timothy 1:15 that it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, what is sin? 1 John 3:4, chapter 3, verse 4, defines it. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. The Hebrew word for sin, there are three. That I know, but one of them is the word pesha, and it's translated sin, and it means an action committed in deliberate defiance of God. In other words, rebellion. Sin is rebellion. Sin is disobedience to God's law. It is living as if there is no God, no law, no authority, and that's most humans live like that today and have lived through the ages. It is thinking, speaking, behaving in a way that God hates. Now, what are the characteristics of sin? Number one, sin stains and pollutes. Sin stains and pollutes in such a way that Ezekiel, in chapter 20, verse 43, says that when sinners see their own sin, when the sinner sees his own sin, he hates himself. Number two, sin is a challenge against God. The heart of the sinner, there's a defiant attitude. The sinner says, I will do what I want to do, and I don't care who God is or what he says. In my study here, I remember one famous Hollywood actor, Steve McQueen. Anybody remember him? He was the bad boys in the 60s, racing cars and all that. So Steve McQueen, one person asked him once, and he said, ask him, you believe in God? And he said, yeah, I think that God is number one as long as I am number one. Later on, God brought him to his knees, and he came to Christ. And an evangelist gave him a Bible. By that time, he had terminal cancer. And the people who saw his body, lifeless body, last in the hospital, said that he had the Bible that the evangelist had given him, and the Bible was open in his favorite page, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him has eternal life. So there is hope for those rebels out there. Number three, sin is ingratitude. Matthew 5:45 says that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God showers blessing on man, and man in his ingratitude persists in his sin. It's like Absalom after his father David embraces him and kissed him. He leaves the presence of his father and begins to plan how to kill him. Shocking. Shocking. In the same way, the sinner takes provision from the hands of God, and in return, he rebels against him. How many people are affected by sin? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Same chapter, verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is no righteous person, not even one. Psalm 51:5, that's the Psalm of David. Behold, I was brought forth in guilt, and in sin my mother conceived me. Since Adam, sinners have been born, and only sinners. Adam passed through humanity. His sin, like Naaman's leprosy, passed from Naaman to Gehazi in 2 Kings 5. The only one without sin is the Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:5 says, you know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. What are the results of sin? Number one, sin transforms man and controls his mind. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? John 3:19 tells us that people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Number two, the sinner believes that he is free to do what he wants, but it's really under control of Satan. The only free person is that whose sin has been covered, is that whose neck has been taken out and has been freed to do what pleases God. In John 3:8-36, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Number three, sin causes the wrath of God to be on the person. Sin causes man to be cast out of God's presence and tormented for eternity. Luke 16, verses 22 to 23, it says, this is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, right? Now it appeared that the poor man died. Now it happened. I'm sorry. Time's up. His glasses. Now it happened that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's arms. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he raised his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his arms. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is terrifying. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Number four, sin leads the human being to be exposed to a life without peace, full of anxiety, pain, and unhappiness. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing. Matthew 27:5 says that Judas Iscariot, tormented in by his conscience, went and hanged himself. Humanly speaking, sin is an incurable disease. Job 14:4 says, who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you as well can do good who are accustomed to do evil. Only a divine intervention could make the unclean clean. And Jesus Christ came into the world to do that, to cleanse us from our sins, to save us. There is no other way. There is no other way. Sin is the disease that only the blood of Jesus can take away. Only his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary was able to pay for the sins of the world. And that's what John the Baptist said. Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God doesn't reject a person because it's poor or rich. He doesn't reject the person, whether or not he or she went to school or has some sort of degrees. God doesn't reject a person because he has some sort of his mental or physical abilities are there or the lack of them. God doesn't do that. God doesn't reject a person because the world rejects the person. That doesn't matter for God, to God, or because the person has little to offer. God only condemns a person who's, as he says, has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18 tells us that the one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. There's only one thing for which God rejects a person, and that is the sin that has not been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Every second on earth, people die. And people die having rejected salvation. And remember, people have gone to the news. People have been hanged holding the book of another religion, rejecting Jesus. Every second, they reject the salvation that Jesus Christ gives. I spoke to a man once at work. Every time I had an opportunity, whether at lunch or something like that, or some free time at work, I tried to preach a little bit, and I explained that only Jesus can remove away his sins, the debt. And this man came from another culture and said, oh, no, no, no. I have to pay for my own debt to God. I was dumbfounded. I said, this man doesn't even know what he's doing. You know, Lord, I'm failing to give him the message of salvation. He doesn't know how terrible hell is. And some people are like that. They reject the salvation that only Jesus Christ provides. And this condemns a human being to a horrible, terrifying eternity. Why all this? Because the darkness of Christmas leads us to appreciate his beauty. And the beauty of Christmas is that the Son of God came into the world to save sinners. And we cannot appreciate the beauty of Christmas without understanding the reason why God sent his Son into the world. That is the meaning of Christmas. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Oh, Father, indeed, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Truly, oh Lord, this is Christmas. That is the beauty of Christmas. The birth of the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your word, O Lord, says that everyone who calls on your name will be saved. And that the one who comes to you, you certainly will not cast out. Your word also says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, faithful and righteous Father, we confess that we have sinned against you and by word, deed, and by not doing what we were supposed to do. Therefore, we come to you acknowledging that you are the only one that can forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for leaving your glory in heaven and being born in the likeness of man. Thank you for shedding your blood and dying on the cross to redeem us from our sins. In the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas.